Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
The folks at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We also would like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take you less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first people who does it, we'll even give you something for doing it. We want you to complete a short survey for us because we need the information you give us to help make things better every day. Just go to podcastone.study and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 250 people that go and complete the survey will get a $25 gift card to restaurant.com. And there's a chance to win an additional $250 Visa gift card. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, and filling out this survey will really help us out. So please go to podcastone.study. And thank you.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice, but get on a minute. Get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. It's Ace on the House. The man across, Ray Oldhofer over
Hello,
there.
Hello, Dom.
What's going on, man?
I'm good, man.
I'm good, too. I got a little bit of a cold, but kids like to make fun of me if I do get sick. It's kind of a weird, I don't recommend this policy, which is if you brag to everyone you live with that you never, ever get sick.
Yeah, because you don't.
But when you do get sick, they make fun of you. If you take it to its natural extension, I'll be dead and they'll be having a party because it'll be like, you see how wrong that guy is?
Wow.
Well, it's kind of a weird...
It's a little extreme.
It's kind of a weird thing, because I get sick, and I get razzed. Everyone else gets sick, and they get soup. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get you some soup.
I've really just found, as far as being sick goes, in the modern era that we're living in, you know, I do podcasts, a TV show, write a book, whatever I do, there is not much excuse for not working when you're working in this environment and you have a cold. There's excuses, you know, if you work as a window washer or something and you have a horrible head cold or whatever it is, or if you do manual labor, you're up on your feet or you're moving, you know.
Yeah,
sweating,
you ain't
whatever.
Taking a day off. That being a little sick isn't going to affect you in that way. No way.
No, I'm saying for this, I'm coming and sitting and talking. What's the difference? It's the weirdest thing about sick days in the white collar world, which is if you sit at a computer in an air conditioned building all day and then you call in and you go, hey, I'm sick, I can't come in tomorrow. And then you just sit home all day and you watch TV in an air conditioned building. What the fuck is the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a bathroom.
It's parallel, yeah.
Yeah, I get it if you're yakking, you're throwing up all over the place, or you're, you know, snot rags everywhere. But if you really think about just sitting and typing, I'll bet you.
But you know what else you don't do? Like a lot of people do. Okay, you have a cold. All right. Now, a lot of people do the, you know, listen, I really got a bad cold. They do that whole voice inflection thing where you're not buying it like when you were a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, my little brother was the best at it. The whole thing. Like, you know, you're not that sick, man.
Rich.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing, which is, then we'll answer your home improvement questions, but there's an interesting dynamic. All kids, all right, so we start off as three-year-olds, and the three-year-old falls down and hits the ground and pops up and is hurting and is showing. You know, I have kids, and they'll show you all the time. They'll go, look, I jammed my finger playing basketball. Look, and they'll hold their hand out, and they'll go, you see it? And you'll go, yeah, oh, yeah, and then you'll pick the wrong finger because nothing's swollen or blue or anything. They go, no, not that finger, this finger. And you go, oh, yeah, yeah. They'll go, look, it's swole. It's swelled up.
And you picked the wrong finger.
Well, it's true. You can't tell, but they want it, because what it is they want the attention. Everybody has that. All right, I want to get some attention. I want to, I want the attention that I get from this thing. So, all right. So then that bleeds into adulthood. And if you ever notice, when like adults are sitting around and one of them saying, oh man, I had to have an operation on my elbow because I shattered it when I was skiing. Someone else in the next 10 seconds will go, I was snowboarding. I blew my knee out, right? Like it's kind of a attention, kind of a one-upsmanship, you know, show me some attention. Show me some acknowledgement. Yeah, they'll just keep going. They'll do it. So when you get sick, that's kind of your adult version of being a kid. And then you get to go into work and you get to see, do you want attention or not? Because if you come in, I mean, I could come in and go, oh, man, I'm not feeling well at all. And then there's a bunch of guys I pay and they'd have to go, you want to sit down, boss? You want some tea, boss? Like they have to do that because I would then get that attention.
Right.
See? But the way I'm wired is I don't want attention. So I would rather come in and pretend, even though I've done 10 minutes on being sick, I'd rather come in and pretend I'm fine, even if I'm not that great, to avoid the attention.
I got you.
I wish more Americans were wired that way.
You know, when I show up sick and I see Mario, he goes, what the fuck's wrong with you? That's all he says.
Mario's the guy you work with, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
My guy.
Love it. I just want people to think you show up here. Oh. And this guy named Mario. All right. The stools, I'm happy to say, we fixed. The backs on these stools, we have, where are they, Garrett? Did we get them back?
Yeah.
Are they working?
Ray's sitting on one. I'm sitting on one.
Oh, okay. All right.
They're working, but they're, I don't know how long for this world they are.
Well,
they were very well repaired.
Ray's not. You guys are probably the two biggest. We got a few other guys. But the point is this. I was going to designate him for the Pixies, but I didn't know how to do it. Because what happened was, so you get these stools. I am convinced that business stools or chairs or desk chairs or whatever, they have this built-in obsolescence or obsolete kind of system to them, which is, I really think this. They used to say this about cars. They'd go, hey, they could make a fan.
After 50,000 miles.
No, they'd say this, quiet. They'd say, you could make a fan belt that would last forever, but you don't, because then no one would have to pay to replace the fan belts. I'm convinced with office furniture, they could make this stuff last forever, but it just starts going south. And these stools we have, they literally just snapped off inside, like the plastic mounts that are just part of cast into the back of these plastic stools. It just snapped off. And so I said, let's bring them to the other shop and let's fix them. And when you look at them, it's like kind of not repairable the way it was laid out. And I said, all right, well, let's see if you can just buy the tops, because the bottom, 65% of the stool is fine, maybe 70%, but just the tops have busted off because the stools are $200 a pop. And I'm like, all I have is one little bad run in this stool. It's like a little 6-inch piece in the back that busted off. So I say, let's see if we can just find the tops. We'll replace the tops. Can't buy the tops. You can't convince me, by the way, when you bust these things open and look at them, that they're not made to fail in about 3 years. No, no, right. Not,
I mean, but a replacement, but yeah. Also, of course they fail. Look at this one.
Well, my point is this. They're not going to fail the first day. They're going to fail somewhere between year three.
Look what you have on the bottom of this one, too.
Well, please describe it, Ray.
All right, so at the base of the stool, he has a hose clamp holding it up. So it doesn't decline.
Yeah. Right. So
it's actually holding the bottom down because the hydraulic lifts at the bottom, like the black piece that you can see there below the hose clamp, will come out.
Wow.
So these things haven't been abused. They've just been used. But the point is I said, now we got I took apart the backs. I said, now these things are busted and I can't buy back. So now I have to buy a $200 stool times two and throw out the other stools, which actually work except for the back. So I took the whole thing apart, found the part that busted out. And like I said, it was just bound to bust out. It was just plastic, and it would just get stressed. And it could probably get stressed 1,100 times, and then it would pop, you know, then it would break. So I epoxied it back into shape, but I knew it was going to pop again. So after I epoxied it back in shape, I laid it up with fiberglass. I put fiberglass over it to kind of act as a strap.
Gotcha.
So it wouldn't pop off again. Yeah, well, we'll see how long it lasts. But I had Rob. Oh, good Rob. Good Rob story from back in the day. I was told him to epoxy up something. And he epoxied up and he like clamped it up and glued it up. And I was like, the next morning, like I went down there. And I was like, stuff's still sticky, still wet. And I said, it's been a day. How'd you mix this epoxy? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, did you mix it evenly? How's it mixed up? He's like, well, you got to mix part A and part B evenly. And he's like, oh, I just did one part. He epoxied
like
something with one part.
For the rest of it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, let's see.
I got it, boss.
See, I don't know. I don't know enough to say to people, use epoxy and then say, use part A and part B and mix them together. Now, I would say that to Matt. I would say that to Matt, but I wouldn't say it to Rob because I figure Rob knows.
Might know.
Unclear whether back in the day he knew or and just kind of whiffed. I don't know. All right, landscaping's wife, do interior. I don't know, prioritize the work. See, cleaning product, latex paint off tile and grout. All right, think about that one, Ray. I'm going to tell you guys about Audible. Audible.com, the premier provider of digital audiobooks. These guys are the best, man. Titles in every genre, thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, and more. You can play it on almost any device, iPhone, Kindle, Android, and more. 500 devices, listening anytime, anywhere. And for listeners of Ace on the House, you get a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial. Just gives you the opportunity to check it out. It's a great service. I use it. I highly recommend it. It's a way to get smarter when you're at the supermarket, walking up and down the aisles, or taking the dog out for a walk, or just in your car. I put everything on my phone. It goes right to the Bluetooth. You get stuck in traffic. Man, download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/Corolla. Get it free. audibletrial.com/Corolla. All right, this guy wants to get the cleaning product off the... Hey, TJ, 37, KC,
hey,
Arkansas. Sorry, go ahead.
Man, yeah, I was looking to get some latex paint after I sprayed my house off of the tile and the grout. I've been using Simple Green and just elbow grease, and it's working, but I didn't know if there was a product that would make it go faster.
Simple Green, not your product for this.
You using a Scotch-Brite? Like a scouring pad?
Yeah. Man, I've just been using a rag and Simple Green.
You need something that's granular. You need the Scotch-Brite pad.
You need the white one.
The white one?
The white one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to go with some TSP, do you want to go with something that's got some grit to it, like some kind of buffing compound or something?
I'd even use like some kind of smart strip or something like that. Non-toxic, leave it on for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, you can use it inside. It's not going to hurt you. Then with the Scotch-Brite, hit it.
How would he do? Why don't you try? You want to try it first with the Scotch-Brite and like some lacquer thinner or something?
The Scotch-Brite and just, you know, soapy water.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Get lacquer. Racker thinner inside, not fun.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Little
so warm soapy water and a Scotch-Brite should do it.
Yeah, but get the white Scotch-Brite. You don't want to use blue or green because it's going to transfer onto your tile or your grout.
Got it.
Especially the grout. Yep. All right, but
cool. Thanks, guys.
What's that stripper you like again?
Smart Strip.
Simple Green.
Smart Strip. Don't use Simple.
Great.
Simple Green is a
simple
zero.
Simple Green does what's going to get you besides that smell.
I know. They show like commercials for Simple Green. They're like, you can drink it. I'm like, good. Then it's no good. Anything you can drink is no good.
Great in the summer by the pool.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm making a mojito with it. All right. Let's see. Ooh, Simple Green Mojitos. Mmm.
On to something.
Tell my
Corolla
dad.
Corolla drinks.
Yeah, next time you hit the tub,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Can you imagine going to your dad's house and taking a hot tub with him? No. Can you imagine me and my dad sitting in a hot tub together?
Wait, so wait, you and your dad have...
Listen, you should be...
Hey, it was my dad's birthday last weekend. We had a hell of a hot tub party.
Did you blow him?
It was his birthday. It was his birthday.
It's his birthday.
That's not, it's not weird.
It's okay.
It's not weird if it's your birthday. No, I hope that in 20 years, me and Sonny are sitting in a hot tub together somewhere. That's what I hope. He's a sweetie pie. And I hope... By the way... He's getting the bike. The problem is I am laissez-faire. I'm sort of like, I'm like your, sorry, Ray, but I'm like your sort of Christian German around the mid, later 30s, and they're like rounding up the Jews, and I'm kind of, not my problem. That's the way I am with Sonny and his being scared of everything. Like, all right, I'll come out and I'll go, I'm going in the race car. You want to come in the race car? And he'll go like, no. And I'll go, all right. And I'll just go do the race car thing or whatever it is. But, and then Lynette has this great combination of, like, we live in the safest neighborhood in the world, but she won't let him walk from, one house to the next house, but that's not the way. See, the thing about women that you can never really account for is we live in the safest neighborhood on the planet, right?
You do.
Right. Okay. So Lynette would never let the kids go from our house and just go, hey, just go walk over to your friend's house. Like, no way. You're being supervised. Even though that's a 0.0001 on the safety scale.
We were buying beer at the local store at that age.
But, Gary... I think you'll appreciate this. Lynette, with the kids in the car, will happily talk on the phone or text or something like that, which is statistically a much higher way. Now, I will, too. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying she's a bad person because I will talk on the phone and text on the phone with the kids in the car, too. The only thing that makes me a little more consistent is I will also let them walk to their friend's house because I already engage in a behavior that's statistically 100 times more dangerous than letting them do that, huh?
Maybe more.
Maybe more than 100 times. Now, the difference between men and women is I understand that. I go, we already circle the globe with these guys in the back of the car, which is really statistically the only way these rich white kids can ever be injured is in this thing that's moving around with, by the way, poor drunk people.
Yeah.
who have bald tires.
And crazy people driving big rigs, as we saw yesterday.
Right. We just had a whole bunch of people cleaned out on the 5 freeway.
And one dog.
And one dog. I saw that. That was moments before I was going to hop on the same freeway. And as a matter of fact, ooh, Gary, you got to check the time.
I did check the time. I was driving down that exact stretch of freeway less than 10 minutes before.
What time was the accident?
I'm sorry. Let me look. I checked yesterday when I was driving in.
All right.
My girlfriend.
So here's the poop. I am supposed to, on days that we shoot the TV show, I am supposed to do a podcast from about 10:30 a.m. to about 11:45 a.m. And then I'm supposed to immediately pretty much get in my car and leave for the studio where we work. This is very interesting. Now, I normally show up at the studio about 12:15, 12:16, 17, something like that. What I usually do is we finish up here about 11:40, 11:45. I say a few things to Matt, like I'll call you when I get on the road. I run over the other shop, I get the car, and I split. This time, hold on, Gary. Oh, this is this is a 10:52, not 11:52.
Yeah.
Oh, it was earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got into my car at about 11:55 or something, and I start backing out, and I turn on the radio, and for the first time ever, the actual news helped me. Traffic.
No way.
I've heard 300,000 traffic reports in my life, but for the first time ever, I was backing up, and they're like, the 5 is on fire. And I was like, I'm heading to the 5. And sure enough, there it is. But anyway, here's the point. Statistically, getting in the car, just in general, texting or forget about talking on the phone or texting. Let's think about the other guy talking on the phone and texting. Getting in the car, statistically, more dangerous than anything those
whatever
kids can
whatever their activity.
Do. Right. But walking through the neighborhood unchaperoned, emotionally.
Yeah, it's a different.
Tougher.
Different
and
center.
Since women are wired emotionally, that's a tougher putt. Anyway, I'm going to teach that boy how to ride a bicycle this weekend.
Wait a minute. Wait. How old is he?
He is going.
11?
He is going to turn 11 in a few short months, and he doesn't know how to ride a bicycle. And I remember,
wow,
we did a. So this is seared into my soul because we used to do bits. People still ask, you know, what happened to the Man Show Boy? We had the Man Show Boy, and the Man Show Boy named Aaron, we just send him out to do crazy things. And there was a thing, we shot a bit, Bobcat shot a bit, like the Man Show Boy goes out and collects stuff or whatever it is. And at the end of the bit, he was supposed to ride away on his bicycle with his basket of beer and porn and blah, 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 blah. And so we're watching, so we used to sit in our office. Me and Jimmy and Daniel, and it was like a big office on Hollywood Center Studios. And we had back day, like a big old TV with VHS tape in it. And what would happen is the producers, or the directors, sorry, in this case, Bobcat Goldthwait, at some point they'd have a cut of the bit. We'd right. write it, they'd direct it. And he'd come in, and he comes in with this rough cut, you know, it doesn't have music, and it's a little long, and blah, blah, blah. And we'd watch it, and we'd do a little note session on it. So he comes in, he pops the tape in, and we're watching it, and it's funny. And the very last shot where the Man Show Boy is supposed to be riding his bike with the basket, it's kind of like Wicked Witch of the West kind of bike. He's just going to ride it off into the sunset. And the last shot was the kid pushing the bike, just walking. He was just walking the bike down the thing. And I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah. And my first thing, because I didn't know this was possible, I was like mad at Bobcat. It's like, Bob, it's in the script. He rides the bike off out of frame. He rides across the thing. And it's like, yeah, he can't ride a bike. And my next one was still a little bit pissed at Bob because I'm like, put him on the fucking bike, duct tape his fat ass to the seat and just push him through the camera. You know, I don't give a shit. And he's like, yeah, he doesn't ride a bicycle. And I don't know. I feel like doesn't ride a bike is almost like doesn't swim. Like I feel
same
like,
thing.
I feel like if I just threw you in the pool, you'd figure it out. But anyway, strap you to a bike and throw you in the pool. So,
ironically enough, my mother taught me how to swim and ride a bike.
I looked at this kid, and I just remember going, Bob. And also, I was really bumped because it looked really stupid at the end just to have him walking his bike through the bit. Like, it just seemed lame, you know? But I was like, he can't ride a bike. And Bob's like, no. And I was like, God damn. Whoa. What a puss, I remember thinking. And now, smash cut, and I got a kid to turn 11, and he don't ride a bike.
Now, wait, can Natalia?
Oh, shit, yeah. Natalia ride wheelies on a bike. And she's on her wheelie board and her skateboard and her roller skates, and she's just blasting past Sonny, like, laughing at him. And he can't, she has a skateboard that she rides inside the house, and she's just zooming around. She puts her Lynette's skates on, and she's just trucking down. I mean, she used to have those shoes with the wheels built into them, and she'd just be flying along with those things. And every once in a while, Sonny will, like, heelys, yeah. Every once in a while, Sonny will, like, stand on her skateboard in the house, but he'll steady himself on the counter.
Like, on the wall.
Very gingerly. And she'll come by, she'll start laughing at him, and he'll just go, coming full circle, the shame. He's like, if you don't have a gear where you're not embarrassed that you can't ride a bicycle or that you cannot put the cap back on the creamer or rinse out the coffee mug or take my stuff that I have sitting on the console here and then you put it on the floor and then you replace it with a beer bottle. And then when I come back next morning, there's a beer bottle and my stuff's on the floor. If you don't have a gear, if you don't have a shame gear, then you're going to have issues. Meaning Sonny doesn't have the shame gear. The gear is, here's the gear that everyone should have. Sorry, Ray, but you got to listen. Do you ever want to talk about this again? And if the answer is no, it's embarrassing or it's painful or it's whatever, then don't. Then move it on. That's the gear you have to have. If your gear is
UCB, 6 till 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thursdays.
I'm done, Ray. I'm done asking. Okay. You do whatever you need to do.
Got it.
All right. But if you have an engagement gear, which is we can talk about this forever, you're going to have difficulty in life. That's the key. Now, Sonny, sadly, doesn't have the shame gene. He's got a sister that's hauling ass and doing circles around him on a skateboard, and he doesn't care. And that's the new world order, by the way. I keep saying to him, aren't your friends? Your friends can all ride bicycles. Yeah. Don't they make fun of you? No, they don't. It's like, what happens when you're 16 and someone has a party and they go to the beach and they rent beach cruisers and then want to take a ride along the Strand and you can't ride the bike? He's like, that'll be fine. It's like, yeah, but aren't you going to feel embarrassed or ashamed when all the girls and everyone gets on the cruisers and goes upside? He's like, no, I'm not. And the answer is he's not. But that's not healthy. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. Wait a minute now. Are you going to, when you teach him how to ride this bike, are you going to have training wheels? A little bit?
I'm going to.
Are you going to run alongside him?
I'm going to figure it out. I don't have training wheels. I got to run alongside him. Natalia already ate crap on the electric bike in the inside the shop, which is like excellent because she got on one end of it and she just got on it and she was like, how's this thing work? And she started like flipping switches and stuff. And I was like, I don't know how this thing works. And the next thing you know, she was just tearing ass across the shop. And
she hit the Lambo? What'd she hit?
Oh, God, she missed the Lambo. She hit the worst thing ever. She hit a big pile of dumbbells.
Oh.
This is her.
Oh!
Oh, no, I think she hit a table. She hit a pile of dumbbells or she hit a table? I can't remember what she hit. Yeah, it's surveillance footage of her zipping across the shop. Now
she didn't get hurt, did she?
No, she was shaken up, but she was fine. The problem is the worst design ever is that right throttle, because once you get on it, you keep falling back. Yeah. You go on it more. Everything needs the thumb throttle.
It appears to be a table.
It hits a table. Okay. I just nothing.
Natalia.
Yeah.
Not scared.
No. All right. Let's see. Wife hit the garage. Let's see. Wants to work in landscape. Well, let's just get up there. Hey, Jason, 30, Monrovia.
Yeah. What's up, guys?
What's getting going on, man? Ray? Yeah, man.
Hey, So the problem, not a problem, but the dilemma I have is I have a pool that has a cracked concrete pool deck, and it's not usable. So I want to dump some of our savings into getting that up and ready. But the wife is kind of not on board yet because she thinks we can use that money in the interior of the house and redo a bathroom or something, which it makes sense because the bathroom is in terrible shape. Just wanted to get your thoughts on how to prioritize, and I'm trying to convince her that we'll gain more usable square footage if we did the pool deck because we have a pretty nice sized backyard, but it's just not usable. But then again, the bathroom is terrible, so we're kind of stuck as to how to proceed.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your thoughts on how to go about prioritizing work.
Yeah. Sorry, but I think I agree with your wife here, which is the stuff you use, it's a weird thing, like, in life. Like, I had a house in Malibu, and my wife was sort of, on it, and my kids were kind of, and everyone's kind of, on it, and I was kind of, well, I'll do whatever you want. It's hard to get out to Malibu on a Sunday if the people around you are kind of like, I'd like to chillax over here, you know, like, it just kind of,
God, I would go out there. That's crazy, though.
It is crazy.
I think about it, and the view at that place and just the grounds were, you know, let's go.
I have a crazy life. But the point is I probably went out to that place 3 times a year. And you realize, like, I didn't even really use it.
I went out 7.
Yeah, Ray would go out more than me and Lynette would. I never really used it because I was just like, nobody wanted to go. And so I didn't know what to do. So I ended up selling the place. But the point is this. You have these things where you go, this is going to be awesome, but you don't end up using them that much. You know, it's like a cool pair of shoes where you go, I really got to have those shoes. And then you don't really wear them that much. You know, the shoes you wear every day, that bathroom, that's a bathroom you're in. You have to deal with it every single day. And I would say go in order of importance. You know, I recently did my kitchen, and I did it as fast as I could, as early and as often as I could. I blew it out. I was done with it. And I said to my nanny the other day, we're just standing in the kitchen, and I just said, aren't you glad we've been using this thing for the last year? Or would you have wanted to use the other horrible, crappy configuration and then me do it start it next week or whatever it is?
The kitchen, like you said, is a thing you use every day, and it's also a congregation spot. It's, you know, it's the staple of the house and the bathroom.
Right. So, yeah. Jason, sorry. I'm going to go with your wife. Do the bathroom and then do the deck.
All right.
Because you use it.
Even though you're coming up on summer, just make your wife happy.
It's not even every day. Use it 8 times a day every day. You know what I mean? That your bathroom, that thing. You know,
well, if I'm peeing, I'm outside.
Yeah.
I ain't pooing 8 times a day, bro.
What's the poo schedule?
You know me. Regular. Morning. Boom. Done.
I had a funny conversation with my buddy Kevin Hench, who's an interesting guy, and I'll tell you about him in a second. First, BarkBox delivery of 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys. Picked around a surprise theme each month. Just tell them how big your dog is. I think Philly cheesesteak would be the check the box of 100 pounds and above, like when they do those dating services and like income bracket 30 to 60,000, 60 to 90, and then they go above 250, you just go above. He just gets the universal above. Yeah. Big boy. All right. He loves the BarkBox. They got the plans for 1 month, 6 month, 12 month. They're shipped on the 15th of each month. Cancel anytime. Free shipping in the United States. That's the contiguous. Is that how you spell it? With a T? Yeah.
Contiguous?
Yeah. Well, I got to figure that out. U.S. I don't know how to spell, so I never know if stuff's written right way or not. If the dog doesn't like something in the box, they'll send it back, and you get something else for free. All edible treats are made in the U.S. or Canada for free, extra month. Go to BarkBox.com/Corolla. When you subscribe, you get a free month at BarkBox.com/Corolla. CONTINENTAL. Contiguous?
Is that supposed to be continental? Maybe there's a typo.
No, it is continental. I just outsmarted myself.
There you go.
I told you I can't read.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I say contiguous United States, but they say continental. What's the difference between contiguous and continental?
I'm not positive that contiguous is a word.
Contiguous is
the 48 states that are all one landmass, excluding
and continental. Then what's continental? The same?
Continental, I would argue, would be anywhere within the continent
of
North America,
which would include Alaska. So it would be 49 versus 48.
Oh, so
and then
it's
Hawaii.
But not Hawaii.
Not Hawaii.
That's not part of the same continent.
It's connected.
Right.
And contiguous is not Alaska?
Correct, because it's all the connected states, the 48 that are all connected.
Oh, and Alaska's on the continent.
They're on the North American continent.
It's North American continent.
All right.
It's separated with Canada.
All right.
Your friend.
Oh, yeah. All right. We didn't do much geography or reading in junior high.
You didn't.
I didn't take a geography class, did you?
I think I had to. Didn't you have to?
No. Who taught geography? I remember
who taught any subject?
I remember English and math and stuff like that.
Who's your math teacher?
I
had Kazan's knack.
No, I didn't have Kazan's knack.
Okay, who'd you have?
I had Contigual. I had Mrs. Wolk or something.
That's
or Mr.
English.
Oh.
And that's junior high.
Oh, Mr. I remember science where those Mr. Fish or Mr. What's his name?
No, Mr. Malone.
Mr. Malone, yeah. Mr. Malone.
Miss Sylvester.
Miss Sylvester, yeah. Miss Sylvester, light-skinned black woman?
Yes.
Miss Sylvester. All right. Anyway, interesting.
Mr. Malone, you got a U.
It's a U for use.
You. You got a U. Can you name one high school teacher?
Besides
Mr. Spaeth?
Yeah, Mr. Bernal.
Okay.
The two Mr. Smiths. Right. One was super nice. The other was super douchey.
Was a dick. Yeah.
Right.
They were the bookends of Smith.
Yeah. I remember, biology, toupee.
Oh, Diliberti.
Mr. Diliberti failed me.
Oh, failed you in car thing. What was that? Driver's Ed.
Yeah, Mr. Gregory failed me in Driver's Ed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. those were lean years.
How do you fail Driver's Ed, by the way?
Here's how you fail.
Like, he had it in for you. It's a weird thing.
It's not a good thing. Here's how you fail Driver's Ed. There are two Driver's Ed teachers. Driver's Ed is sort of like extra class for teachers. There's not like dedicated Driver's Ed teachers. There's Mr. Gregory, who taught like science or biology or something.
Algebra,
and then
I think.
Algebra. I never took algebra. And then so he taught this full time, and then he had the extra class of this. And then there was Mr. Smith, the cool Mr. Smith.
Right.
He was like Dandy Don Meredith.
Absolutely.
He was a cool guy, and he was a football coach. And he was like the football coach and the whatever full time, and then he taught the extra. So when you signed up for Driver's Ed, it was just kind of a coin toss of whether you got Mr. Gregory or Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, cool, chillax dude, who was also the football coach, and I played football, so he knew who I was, and he liked me. The other guy, anal retentive, uptight, fucking weirdo, just a weird. I could remember sitting in class with him, and he would do these weird things. Like, you could barely understand him. Like he'd say like, to turn to page 64, and that's passive restraints. And
what?
And you'd go like, we can't hear. And then at other points, he'd be like, you know, I told you to put your pencils down. Like, he'd have these weird outbursts with these super quiet, mumbly. I remember just thinking, this guy's a
That's
weird
off-putting.
Bird.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's a weird cat. So this douchebag, he decided on his own, wasn't part of the curriculum. Curricular, I believe the word is. The curricule. It was not part of the curricule. It wasn't a part of it that you had to hand in a 10-page report.
Are you kidding?
On seatbelts or, you know, airbags, the wave of the future, whatever it is.
The Corvair.
Yeah, the Corvair. But he did decide on his own that he wanted a 10-page report on some topic to do with cars. You could go ahead.
Way beyond you at that time. Are you kidding?
Impossible.
How about a one page?
That would have been a bridge too far. But he wanted 10 pages. I remember it was 10 pages.
Oh,
and I remember thinking,
that's a setup.
Well, this is never going to happen. I'm never going to be able to do a 10 page report. I can't do it. But
my friends can.
No. This is the 10th grade. I mean, even my friends. Who? You? Chris? I mean, I didn't know many people could do this. But I remember just thinking, I'll just hang here, and I'll take the little tasks and fill out the little stuff and do whatever you got to do in Driver's Ed. And we'll get to the end, and he'll want the 10-page report, and I'll do what I always do. It's just, I started it, and it's at home, and I forgot it, or whatever it is. And he'll just go, look, D-, get out of here. But I don't care about my GPA. I need to pass I just need a D. Yeah. The thing about driver's ed,
DMV.
Yeah, who cares where they get an A or D? I'm not working on my GPA. I'm working on getting to the DMV. So we get to the end, and he's like, he does it. You didn't hand in the test, you know? And I'm like, yeah, well, what are you going to do? You know? And he's like, well, there's a fail. Just failed me. Spent the whole second part of the semester sitting there. So I was there every fucking day. I just sat there, and I was like, you just failed me. So now...
So brutal.
He failed me. You know, the school sees... You know, my birthday's May 27th, and the school's out at, you know, June 9th or something like that. So he failed me right after I turned 16. Right. So I essentially turned 16 so I could get my driver's license, and then 4 days later, he failed me. And now I'm just sitting in my dad's house going... Where do I get my driver's license now? School's out, by the way, now.
Yeah.
It's summertime, so good, do what you want.
Ugh, brutal. Hey, we're going to tell us about Hench. Interesting guy.
I took all my birthday money. I just took whatever. I just would get money from my family. Like, you give me $20. Stepdad, you give me $10. Grandparents, you give me $20. Mom, give me $10. I'd put it all together. And I just went to, like, Acme Driving School in Van Nuys in a strip mall for, like, a three-day course. 12 hours a day for 3 days, and you're done.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was awesome. Saw some reliving driver's ed in the 3 days in Van Nuys.
That you had... Wait, so were you 16 and a half when you got your license, or were you 16?
I was 16, and then I took my, like, three-day crash course, and then I got my driver's ed, and I got my learner's permit, and, like, went across the street to the Van Nuys DMV, and I, like, took the test, and then... I sold something or whatever, and I paid for the driver school, like the guy to come out
drive me
around.
That's right.
And so I must have had my license in like a month or 2 months or something like that. Hench, a very successful guy, and he never stopped improving himself. And he's a good guy, but he's insane into self-improvement, and he never stops working on himself and getting better. And when I met that guy, he was living in an apartment and not working as a writer. Now he's running Last Man Standing, Tim Allen's show, and making millions of dollars because he just never stopped pedaling. He just never stopped working.
And a big brain too.
But he does. But it's more his work ethic and then his ability of self reflection. He's always constantly trying to figure out what's working for him and what's not working for him, and he puts the stuff that's not working for him aside. And he does actually. Matt, are you listening? You know what Kevin Hench does? Kevin Hench is one of the few people I've come across in my life that has actually verbalized and said, you know something, and I want you to tell me, and then I'm going to do that. Like when I met Kevin Hench, he was a writer, but not successful. And then he worked for Jimmy Kimmel as a segment producer, but he wasn't really doing his own thing and getting rich. But he's the only person I've ever come across in all my travels that literally would say to me, I understand you got to figure it out. You started way down here, and now you're way up here. So whatever it is you say, I'm going to live it. I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to live it. And he's a smart guy, but he wasn't a successful guy by any stretch of the imagination, certainly not financially. And he's wildly successful right now. And still, I was out with him last weekend, and he's still just like, hey, I remember what you said about this, and I remember what you said about that. And he has used it to propel himself to riches, literally riches, from nothing. Obviously, he's got a lot of ability, but it's not dripping with ability in terms of...
I mean, he left Kimmel, and he had a pretty good position.
He left because
he wanted to, you know, do his own thing.
He wanted
his own drummer.
He wanted to write The Hammer with me and go make a movie.
He did.
And he turned down a steady gig to go make an independent film with me. But that's how much he believed in me. He wanted to work with me. And he understood it. And he has ability. But what he mainly has is this ability to hear what you're saying, internalize it, and then go out and execute it.
And replicate
it. That's what he does.
He can do it.
And everybody else is so fucking busy telling me to fuck myself that they go, okay, But they're just living in the, they're just living where they're living. I have it with everybody in my life. Everybody in my life, not Kevin Hench. Kevin Hench listened, and Kevin Hench is now more successful than everyone in my life. I don't get it. He always just looked at it as, oh, this is a gift. I know a guy. He knows something. He's telling me how to do it. And he did it. And he repeated it to me. And he would get back to me all the time and go, I remember that story you told about leaving the mug in the passenger side of your car and going and getting it, blah, blah, blah. He repeats it. He lives it. And he's having an insanely fruitful life. Now, back to bowel movements. He said to me the other day, he was just talking about his morning drill. He says, gets up in the morning, has a cup of coffee, takes a dump, and then walks around, drinks a little more coffee, takes a second dump, and then goes to work, and then goes about his day. And I said, that's what I do. And then I thought, I wonder if we're syncing up, like, you know, chicks on their periods or something, because I never heard about the two-dump chump.
I've done that. And then I don't, then the rest of the day,
but I'm talking about every morning now. The two-dump chump.
It's a good
Matt,
thing.
You jealous? It's the porcelain punisher. Yes, you feel me nipping at your heels?
He's at four.
I need some time alone.
I think for Matt, it's about volume, not about frequency. You know what I mean? Like, it's about sheer mass. It's not really about, you know, he could miss a week. It wouldn't matter. It's that one drop.
As a former roommate, I will tell you you're right.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Matt, have you ever clogged the toilet?
Here?
I mean, I have.
I don't think I've done it here.
Yeah. Okay. His new nickname.
Because I got the commercial ones.
Moab. Thank you, Gary. All right. I'll tell you guys. Matt doesn't even get it.
Mother of all buttholes.
I hate all of you.
All right. Oh, here we go. Geico. Everybody's got stuff to do. You want to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance and enjoy a little you time? How about you go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. It is that easy. Put a little extra money in your pocket, a little Moab, oh no, wham, walking around money. That's right. Hop online, go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. All right, Sport Couch Middle. This is interesting. Let's talk to Vinder. Vinder?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Vinder.
Vinder. Wait. Yeah. We've talked to you before, haven't we?
Yeah, I think a few times.
Yeah, Toronto. What's going on?
Yeah, I bought a couch, and my son-in-law was sitting on the couch the other day, and he said it was sinking in the middle.
Uh-huh.
So, let's just put it this way. Ray would probably ask my son-in-law how much he weighs.
Yes.
Okay, you're funny. Okay.
Ray's obsessed with the weight of human beings.
How fat are you, Bender?
Is it Bender?
Yeah, it's Bender.
Sorry, we had it misspelled on the screen. All right. So how high is the rail off the ground, and does it have legs on it, or how high is the thing?
It came with the legs, but it don't have extra legs, so it's up about 15 centimeters.
Let's see. How many? Well, let's see. There's 10. What is there? 2.5 centimeters and an inch or something like that?
Hold on. Let me I'll grab my tape measure. 5 3/4 of an inch.
That's a lot.
Right. How many centimeters did you say? 15?
15. So right. I'm right at it right now. It's 5 3/4.
All right. So there is. It is about Gary's facet. This is about 2.5, 2.3 or something centimeters and an inch.
2.2.
2.2. Okay. So it's about 5.5 inches or something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You can go to Home Depot and you can find the bin that has weird little legs. Yeah?
Yeah.
They have legs.
Like, yeah.
Different sizes, different lengths, different styles and stuff like that. You can get that. I would just like spray paint it flat black, like try to make it go away.
Or make it look like what you have.
Yeah.
Although is there a skirt around it?
Can I tell you one thing?
Yeah.
No, the one thing, it's a black leather sofa, but the legs are chrome.
Mm. Okay.
You can find one online
now,
then. They're aluminum.
They can be chrome.
Mm.
What do you mean? They can be chrome legs. Well, he's there. He's saying they're chrome. Why would they?
Because a lot of times it's a polished aluminum.
Do you want to like a span or something? Or if maybe I'm just like.
No,
that's your kid.
Listen. Binder, I'm agreeing with you. He's saying the leg's great. He's saying the thing's chrome. If it's chrome, it's chrome. All right. Make sure it is what it is. I am not going to go along with you or Ray or me on this. I am saying you're not going to find a leg that's going to match. If you do find a leg that's going to match, it's going to be weird and in the middle and kind of hanging out a little bit. You need Here's what you need to do. You need to take a dowel, like an inch and a quarter wide dowel. You need to cut it at like 5.5, and you just spray paint it flat black.
So MIAs.
Yeah, and just put it, just figure out the length, flat black it, tuck it up.
Or do a couple of them, because you're going to do one in the front
and the back.
And
just kind of like tuck it up in there. And, you know, put a little glue on it or whatever and just kind of wedge it.
Maybe even get a Fosner bit and
would it
bury
help
it in there.
If I, like, screwed it in there? Or?
I you know, I'm trying to kind of picture you getting at it. And, I mean, you could.
You could take the dowel and then you could drill a hole
the rail,
in it.
The rail is only, like, an inch. And then there's just, like, blank.
I know, but there's got to be some alder underneath or something.
Hold on. I got to here's what I'm thinking now. It depends how good you are. You ready, Binder?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I got a lot of tools. I'm handy.
Okay. Take your dowel, okay?
Yep.
Cut your dowel an inch and a half longer than it needs to be, okay?
Okay.
Then make your dowel, take your dowel stock and make it at like inch and a half. Start off at like inch and a half, something like that. Inch and a half plus. A kind of a meaty dowel, maybe inch and a half to 2-inch dowel, right? Then
because this one, before you go on, like it's about maybe 3 inches circumference.
I'm gonna fix this thing already.
I don't want to look at it. We're not gonna see it. We're gonna take your dowel. We're gonna get your inch and a half dowel or so. We're gonna cut it an inch. We're gonna cut it an inch and a half longer than we need, and we're gonna put a nice notch in it, a nice kind of bird's mouth kind of come down an inch and a half, go out. Glue it up and just shove it up in there. Paint it flat black. Shove it up in there and put the mouth on it so it flushes out in the front. And
you,
on that inch, on that 1-inch piece that goes along the front, because the back, Ray, is going to be harder. You're going to have to go way
that's
up
true.
Or something. Try that. I think that'll work. Just for the front, that's all you need.
And put your kid on a diet.
Put your kid on a diet.
No, he's not my kid. He's my son-in-law.
Okay. Whatever he is,
put him on a diet.
No. You know why I was, can I tell you something funny?
Yes.
If it is.
I was telling you in millimeters. I was telling you in millimeters just to fuck with you because a couple of years ago you had this show. The guy was like trying to fix like a crack in his concrete.
Yeah.
And he kept on telling you the measurements in millimeters. You had the funniest line, Adam. It was a throwaway line. But he said, hey, Jacques, what do? Work on Peugeots all day? And I just could not fucking forget that. That was like the funniest freaking thing.
Isn't it, hey Jacques, what do you work on? What all day?
Peugeots.
Peugeot.
He pronounces it the European flair.
Hey, Ray, take another improv class.
Yeah, it's good. Lose some weight, fuckface.
All right. Hey, that was a good comeback.
Fix your fucking couch, good. Asshole.
You haven't taken an improv class.
That's not. That's not
UCB.
That's not yes and.
Yes right. and.
Hey,
fuck
Binder,
you.
Thank you. All right, man.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate right. that. I will do that.
Yeah,
and
Peugeot.
Listen,
bye.
Hold on a second. I can do millimeter math easily. Centimeter math, I have to think about.
Times 10.
Millimeter math.
No, you know what? We learn about it, like, in school. So, like, it's always 2.2 miles or 1.6. So, you know, it's just whatever.
Yeah, I get it. I used to work at a Euro cabinet shop. It was all millimeters. All we did was millimeters. And it's good. It teaches you. And then there's also, if you work with tools and you're toggling back and forth between standard and metric and contiguous and things like that. Simply Safe, man. What about Simply Safe, huh? What about it, Gary? You got Simply Safe? I got Simply Safe. Everybody's got Simply Safe. Sensors, entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors. Make your home a burglar's worst nightmare. In under an hour. How do you do it? You go to Simply Safe. There's two eyes in there. Pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Just plug in the base station, and it'll talk you right through the whole process. Right? You plug it in. It will talk you through. You'll get it set up in just a matter of minutes. Entire system is wireless. No drilling holes. No pulling wires. Month to month. No long-term contracts. No hidden fees. just $14.99 a month. And you get professional 24/7 monitoring and emergency dispatch service. So let's not wait another day. Go to simplysafeadam.com. Get 10% off your home security system. That is simplysafeadam.com. S-I-M-P-L-I, Simply Safe Adam. Get you 10% off. All right, let's see. Has a ton of projects. And sure, where to start? Let's blast through. Oh, wait. Sorry. All right, good. Last two. Here we go. Jesse.
Yes, sir.
Your projects, where to start?
Yeah, I got a 1950s house. It's in good shape. I got bathrooms, kitchens, plumbing, electric.
Yep.
And I was trying to narrow it down to one and where to start. It seems like whenever I start thinking about one, it kind of just opens up and leads to the next one.
Yeah. It's really important to have the beginning, middle, and end. That's the other thing when I'm talking about the process here. It's just being able to finish stuff. Just beginning. Once you get used to that beginning, middle, end, whether you're doing a home improvement project, writing a book, making a documentary, just beginning, middle, end. The thing about horrible students and why, like, me and Ray and everyone we know is a horrible student is we did the beginning and the middle, but we never really got around to the end. Like, I did the beginning and the middle of Driver's Ed, but I didn't do the end.
You did in Van Nuys.
I did in Van Nuys. That's right. So that's the end part. That's everybody I know. It's never the beginning and the middle, and it's never how hard you work. It's just finish it, move on. They can't finish it. So I can't really tell you where to start, but I can tell you start with a smaller one and finish it and then move on. Don't open up.
But also, let's say if he's got a 50s house, you know, anything antiquated, plumbing, you know, take care of the plumbing before you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but
electrical.
If you're going to do the plumbing, then you're into the bathroom or the kitchen. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
That's my thing when I think about the bathroom is like, oh, well, should I update the electrical first? Like, what, you know, should I come in and get in, update the electrical, then start on the projects, or update the plumbing, then start on the projects, you know?
I don't know. I would start small to big, and I would knock it off, and I would knock it
out. Adam's got a good point, because if you start small to big, you'll get more confidence and then take on bigger stuff.
Right. But finish it. Start it and finish it.
Finish it. Danny? It'll feel good.
35, yeah. Oregon.
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
What's going on, man? Show. Thanks.
Hey, man. I recently pulled out some accordion doors on some closets, and I put a new wall and door for a walk-in. And then I bought a texture gun from, like, Harbor Freight and stuff and went at it myself. And I wasn't really satisfied and everything, but I was sick of it. It was a big mess, and I painted it. And I really don't like the look. And there's spots where I tied in that the texture just looks bad and stuff. So what's the way to go about fixing this? Can I go right over the top? Do I hire somebody else? And do I have to sand it down? Or what?
Is it flat paint? What kind of paint did you use?
Yeah, flat.
Sand it.
Wait a second. Going right over the top's not going to work because you're already
bad on bad.
Problem, right? I honestly would hire somebody to do this. There's so many guys that are good at this, and it's just not one of these things where you can go to Harbor Freight and buy the hopper and hook it up.
I mean,
up
you
the
can,
compressor.
But what you have to do is you have to practice outside on some cardboard. You got to get the right texture and match it, and then once you have that down, then bring it inside. Don't go at it in place. First go. You're going to F up.
But look,
I like Adam's idea.
No, but Danny,
hire somebody.
People do this all the time. Where it's like, what do I do? What don't I do? What do I know? You know, I can wrench on a race car and I can build a race car, but I send the engine out. The engine gets sent out to be rebuilt. I can't. I don't have that expertise. I don't have the tools. I don't have a dynamometer. I don't. You know, let the engine get sent out somewhere. I do all the remod stuff, and then we call the electrician. He comes in, you know, and does the stuff. You have to be comfortable
choose
with this part
battle.
Of life
yeah.
where you go, here's what I can do. I work on my cars. I don't paint my cars. I can't paint a car. And I don't want to learn how to paint a car. And I don't have the facility to paint a car. So this is kind of that. Kind of figure out where you're at, what you do. You've already saved money by doing it yourself. We say accordion doors. You mean bifolding doors?
Yeah, the bifolding. I just ripped them out, and then where I repatched, like, the ceiling where they were at and the new wall where it ties into the corner of the existing bathroom.
Yeah. Just
Is it an orange peel? What is it?
Yeah, it's orange peel, yeah. And I didn't know, like, could I go at it with a couple of spray cans or anything like that after I sanded it, but it sounds like this is just a...
Just get someone to
cut. I just got
to
recognize I'm not that good at it.
That's fine. You're good at
at
other things.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yep. What do you do for a living, Danny?
I'm
an engineer.
He works for texture cutting. But he's on sales, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, engineer. Well, there you go.
Engineer.
Okay, well, say, let someone else do it.
Well, engineer some orange peel and let somebody else do it, yeah.
All right.
Adam's right.
RichUncles.com. I'm a big fan of RichUncles.com. I've invested in their REITs. That's Real Estate Investment Trust, and I'm getting cash dividends. Lots of our listeners have as well. Here's how you, well, they're smart. They do this. They're checking for interest in a proposal for a REIT. Again, Real Estate Investment Trust for student housing. So here's how student housing works. Parents pay for it. Yeah, simple. That's how it works. The parents pay. Rich Uncles plan on buying facilities for students at major colleges and universities.
This is brilliant,
universities.
By the way.
It is.
When I was in college, there was a guy who bought up all this land around the university, and he built these four-bedroom, five-bathroom homes. They were just the simplest thing in the world, but everyone we knew lived in them.
Oh, for the kids,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big SC, too.
And it's never going away, because all the school's going to do is keep getting busier and more crowded and busier, and enrollment's going to go up. Go to richuncles.com to express your interest in Rich Uncles Student Housing REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. That's richuncles.com, or you can give them a call, 855-RICH-UNCLES. That's 855-RICH-UNCLES.
Rich Uncles Student Housing REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response, will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $15,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
All right. Me and Dennis Prager, you can check out on iTunes. No safe spaces.
Yeah, you can.
God, I love that Prager. Such a wisdom. You don't hear wisdom used that much anymore. iTunes, Amazon, whatever it is. It's just $4.99, so check that out. Also, live shows, go to amcarolla.com. You can go to Corolla Drinks, say hi to Lynette. You can check out the 24-Hour War free on Amazon Prime. Write a review. I read the reviews. I absolutely do. And you can support us. You can visit aceontheroof.com. Click the PayPal button to subscribe. It's all good stuff. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Ray Oldhoffer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.